Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast, interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 115. Tammy Wang, you are running for city councilor in Ward 4. Welcome to the Public Records of the 155 Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Joey.
Firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I really appreciate the opportunity to speak about myself. I am a city staffer by day, a small business owner by night. I've been a longtime participant and resident of the ward, of Ward 4. And I'm also a firm believer in building up trust and transparency within the community.
Why are you running?
Thanks so much for asking that. I think that there's a real opportunity to bring about change within our community. As many know, Councillor Marula is retiring, and as much as he's done a great job, I think that there is that opportunity for fresh faces, new ideas, and also to show diversity on council. When it comes to why I wanted to run, I wanted to also put myself forward as a viable candidate that is a visible minority that's starting to show the changing demographic of Hamilton. And I believe that my experience, both as a city staffer and as a small business owner and an active participant within the community, makes me a well-qualified candidate to be running for Ward 4 councillor.
Do you live in Ward 4, yes or no?
No.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
Yes. And let me elaborate on this. I have a house in Ward 4. I have grown up in Ward 4. I have spent all of my time, money, volunteering, brain trust, capacity in Ward 4. So when I think about why it's important for a candidate to be in the ward, this is why I say that it's important to be in the ward. I live in this ward, despite the fact that my husband and I rent in Ward 6. Now, where that works is because for my family, he doesn't drive. And so it's necessary for us to live closer to his place of employment, whereas my place of employment I can get to via public transit or by car. But my heart, my passion, my ambition is in Ward 4.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
I have a lot of experience in the city of Hamilton, and I love this city to its core. I have started a business, several businesses actually, in this city, most of which is a co-working space on King Street, which is called Commotion on King. It is a 10,000 square foot shared working environment that allows entrepreneurs, small businesses, solo entrepreneurs to be in the city. And the impetus for starting that was because of all of the work I was doing in the technology and innovation ecosystem. So previous to starting up Commotion, I was already doing a ton of work within that innovation ecosystem, doing startup weekends, building hackathons, demo nights, giving back to that and starting to build up what that technology ecosystem looks like. Before even doing all of that, that long history of being here in the ward and being here in the city, I've grown up in this city. And I have a long history of volunteerism, community activism. I've worked with grassroots organizations like the Kiwanis Boys and Girls Club. I've worked with Black-owned Hammond. I've worked with McMaster Alumni Association. I have been well recognized for my volunteerism and my leadership when it comes to building up entrepreneurism as well as youth-led community activism. I have a strong opportunity and a lot of experience with working with the city of Hamilton and in the ward in particular.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 4 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
Honestly, Joey, I've already been out talking to a lot of people, being on doors, and I wanted to get firsthand information from the residents. So when it came to what are the priorities in Ward 4, what I hear time and time again is traffic calming. People want to have their families feel safe, literally outside of their door. What I also hear is that there's a lot of crazy street racing going down residential streets. I'm also hearing that our community wants access to amenities, and those access to amenities could be green space, it could be beautiful parks, it could be places to run and play for their kids. I've also heard, actually, that there's a lot of people that would like a dog park in the neighborhood. I mean, we do have Globe Leash Free Park, but I think that that's tucked away in the very far reaches of the corner of the ward. It's really interesting to be able to hear how many dog owners, how much they love their furry animals. In terms of the city, I think that there are many things that I would like to work on for the city. But the things that kind of bubble up to the very top are streamlining the process and essentially making City Hall much more accessible to our people. Many times I've also heard from our ward residents that they found it really difficult to connect with City Hall. Maybe it's for a building permit, maybe it's for a business permit, maybe it's just even understanding when people are going to pick up their garbage and that sort of thing. So I would like to build in a more streamlined process. And then the second one, and I think that that's probably going to be the biggest priority, is building back trust in council. Because again, I've also heard at the doors and in the streets is that the truth is that our community feels like they've lost a lot of trust in our current council. And I think that this is going to be one of the hardest and largest challenges when it comes to prioritizing what I'd like to do.
What are three skills you bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 4 on Hamilton City Council?
This one is kind of, I feel like I want to bring you my entire resume of things, and I want to be able to share with you all of the accomplishments that I've done. But I think it boils down to three different things, which is I have a track record for facilitation. And what that means is that I'm really great at bringing people together and finding common ground. The second is tangential to that, the next major point, is community engagement. Because all of the work that I've already done to date has been working with a lot of different stakeholders, community members, individuals, organizations, companies, and I know how to bring people together. And that's part and part with that facilitation aspect of it. And that last part is building better communication and project management. When it comes to project management, it's really around ensuring that everyone's on the same page. It's about ensuring what are the expectations, how are we moving collectively together towards the final goal. So again, as I'm summarizing, I think the three main points that makes me the best choice to represent Ward 4 is I have a track record of facilitation, I have significant community engagement experience, and I know how to project manage, so bringing people together and actually moving things forward.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up, before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. With this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
Working for the City of Hamilton, there is a vision and mission statement that I think everybody needs to really think on. Is that we want Hamilton to be the best place to raise a child and age successfully. And that is something that at the first time I heard it, it made a ton of sense for me. It was something that clicked right away. And so when it comes to what are the principles and advice, I really want to refer back to that mission statement, which is to think about it. What is this information that you are presenting to me? How is this serving the community? How will this help with us attaining that mission vision? And this is where I'm also going to think about how will this information perhaps negatively impact how we deliver high quality service? Is this going to hold us back delivering on this vision mission? And will it do a disservice to this mission statement? So I think that those are the things that I feel that I'm going to hold things true to, is that, again, we as elected officials are essentially public servants. And my bosses are going to be the 647,000, whatever the new census number is, 647,000 people that live in Hamilton. They are my boss. I want to be open and transparent when it comes to what is the information that we are providing to our community. And again, how is this furthering our vision mission of being the best place to raise a child and age successfully?
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall which silenced good people are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
Thoroughly and deliberately. This inquiry is conducted by one of Canada's highest serving judges. The Ontario Superior Court is the one that is manning this inquiry. They're not fooling around, and they're not going to willy-nilly just make up information. This is going to be thing that we need to place a lot of emphasis on, and we need to take this quite seriously. And the recommendations that they are going to bring forward ought to be followed through on, because this is, again, coming from one of Ontario's highest courts. It is important. In order for us to actually follow through with this, we really need to think about how do we build consensus around the horseshoe, because we're going to have a mix of different counselors there. There's going to be some that may or may not have been there during all of this. And then there will definitely be new counselors there that haven't lived through this. So I think that it's around, again, making sure everyone's on the same page, that we're building consensus, that we are taking this very seriously.
The construction of the B-Line LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
This is something that I was talking about with people at the door, because actually many of the Ward 4 residents that I've already canvassed are actually very close to the proposed LRT route. And when I speak to them, I say to them, LRT's coming. We know it's coming. We've signed papers and we have an office completely set up. It's ready to go. It's slated to start in 2024. So let's be proactive about this. How are we actually going to connect with our community? How do we maneuver around the city? I think that it actually comes down to three main points. One is communication, building in great communication between all of the different major stakeholders, ensuring that our community understands what's coming and what's moving forward. We've actually seen a lot of terrible examples of how communication had not worked or that they were executed poorly. So I want to make sure that we're keeping our community informed as we are going through with this process. The second is looking at small business resiliency and supports. There have been many examples, and I mean, that's what one of the big things that I'm going to care about is worrying about our small businesses closing down during all of this chaos from LRT construction and also just lead up to actually breaking ground. It's thinking through, how do we work with our business improvement areas? How do we work with our local small businesses? How do we work with Metrolinx in order to develop and create a plan that's going to help support our small businesses while they're going through all of this construction? The last is actually to look at key initiatives. What we've also seen is other communities that have gone through this, they've actually been very proactive with developing different programs and initiatives to actually help support and stem some of the challenges of this construction. So I think that there's opportunities for placemaking. It's opportunities to think through how we're going to create micro hubs around different areas. It's around reimagining how people can get from point A to point B. Again, to clarify, I'm looking at building in a great communications plan to keep our community informed, building in business supports and small business resiliency. And the last is to identify key initiatives that will help with just keeping everyone in that area and moving about freely and engaging with their community.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 4 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
Joey, there are a lot of cool things that are happening in Ward 4, but here's where I want to really share with our community what's awesome. Did you know that the Woodward Avenue Wastewater Treatment Plant is actually the first in Ontario to actually generate electricity and sell that electricity back to the Ontario Power Authority? It has a cogeneration facility where we're actually taking some of that biosolids and actually putting them into that giant globe that is right there. And we're actually taking that and using that as methane and burning off a portion of it. It generates electricity. We sell it back to the Ontario Power Authority. It is the first in Ontario. I think that's so awesome. And I'm really excited to share that with everyone.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the type of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. There are three questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its outdated residential zoning bylaws. There are parts of Ward 4 which remain under the 1952 former City of Hamilton residential zoning bylaw. What is your vision for residential zoning in Ward 4?
A couple of things that we need to think about. The City of Hamilton is a creature of the province. The province is the one that comes up with the Planning Act, and we're kind of bound by that. But keeping that in mind, the demographic of Hamilton is changing. We're starting to see significant influx of different people of all ages, family types, demographics coming into Hamilton. So I think that that's what we need to see change as well. When we think about zoning, families are changing. So I think that multi-generational housing is going to be something that's going to be really interesting. When we think about this, I also want to consider how we are growing as a community. Because as we all know, market prices on houses are going up and up and up. And this is where we think that having multi-generational housing makes a ton of sense, because we're going to also see how maybe two or three generations within the same household, they're all going to have different needs. When you have families with young children versus families with older or senior adults living, how are we going to see those houses change according to the makeup of the? I think that it's also encouraging to see that the province has actually outlined the More Homes for Everyone Act, which is encouraging 1.5 million new homes across Ontario in the next 10 years. I think that this is definitely going to impact how we're going to see that residential growth because of this Planning Act. And then, of course, I want to ensure that, as we were just talking about LRT, how are those residential zones going to be impacted by this construction? And then how are we actually building more dense houses? How are we building the infrastructure to actually help with that? The way that I envision our new zoning bylaws changing is in accordance with how we're seeing our population and our demographic change. It's also building for the future. How are we keeping track and keeping our communities accessible to all?
There are active planning applications within Ward 4 with differing views regarding if they represent appropriate intensification or not. Secondary dwelling units and the proposed redevelopment of the Delta Secondary School property are two examples of this. How will you balance the need to approve new housing, including rental housing such as secondary dwelling units, while responding to concerns regarding development?
I think I spoke a little bit about this in my previous answer, which was looking at the changing demographic of our community. And I talked about multi-residential housing. Secondary units make a ton of sense when it comes to something like this. I mean, we're already talking about in-law suites, we're talking about garden suites, we're talking about laneway housing. I think that it is a natural next step as we grow with our community. And again, referring back to the More Homes for Everyone Act, it's coming. We are already here. We are already seeing an influx of different community members. It is also one of the fastest ways to address the needs for affordable housing. I think that what we haven't really talked about is how do we streamline the process to make it easier for our residents to actually do a secondary dwelling unit. It's also ensuring that we're on board with, say, our committee of adjustment and just maintaining expectations. It's also ensuring that we're also learning from our residents about things, think tactical things like on-street parking, making sure the infrastructure makes a ton of sense. But it is something that is coming regardless, and it is something that will definitely fill the needs of our community as we start to see more people moving into our ward.
There are four LRT stops planned within Ward 4. The provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law, defines the 500 meters surrounding LRT stations as major transit station areas. In short, this is where density will be built. What is your vision for major transit station areas, and how will you implement that vision?
This is a really great question, and thank you so much for asking it, because at the Doors, I was also hearing a lot of people ask about LRT and what's happening, and think that this is an opportunity, because our LRT stations become a natural micro hub for the community. People are going to come into those, they're going to probably stick around for like the 5 or 10 minutes while the trains are coming in and out. This is also where I think it kind of hits on a couple of notes, because our residents are also saying that they want to be able to walk to different places. They want to have their amenities within a, say, 15, 20 minute walk from them. This is where it's a natural next step to envision LRT stops as being micro hubs, envisioning that there is access to maybe a little retail, maybe a little bit of commercial, maybe a little bit of things like entertainment, could be restaurants or street food stalls, something that will make it a natural community gathering place. And it becomes a waypoint between points A and points B. When I think of the LRT stops, I actually see this as a significant opportunity for us that we can start to build in some of the amenities that our residents are asking for. They want to be able to access fresh foods, or they want to be able to access entertainment. And this is what makes it super exciting about why LRT brings this type of opportunity.
Road safety is a significant issue across Hamilton, including in Ward 4. What is your overall plan to address road safety? Please provide 3 detailed specifics of your plan.
I hear about this a lot at the Doors, and road safety, especially when it comes to residential streets, is of highest priority to a lot of the residents. We're already seeing a lot of stop signs, but I think that it's more than stop signs and speed bumps. I think it's being deliberate about how we are streetscaping and how we are building complete streets, because it's also ensuring that we're also building in alternative transit routes. We're also building opportunities for bike lanes or additional infrastructure. When it comes to the 3 points that I'd like to think about, it's engagement with the community to ensure that we're actually putting in the right mechanisms to actually traffic calm. 2, it's referring to other placemaking and city builders and other examples in other municipalities of how they are able to bring about safer streets. And 3, it's leaning into our Vision Zero. It's thinking about what are the mechanisms that the city can employ to actually look at ensuring our safe streets and ensuring that we're moving things forward.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. There isn't even 10,000 hours between the election and being sworn in. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading will you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
As a city staffer, I am absolutely blown away by the amount of expertise that we have on staff. I want to be able to lean in to my colleagues that are at the city staff level because, frankly, they're hired to be the experts in a lot of the areas that we're talking about. And as a counselor, I think that we need to leverage that expertise more so. Not only are they already doing a lot of professional development, already from schooling and all that stuff, but they're also the closest to our community. They're the ones that our public is essentially asking those experts for help, be it planning, building, transportation, public works, any of that stuff. The fact is, I want to be able to lean on their collective experience and their collective knowledge. 2, there is lots of professional development opportunities as well as a city councilor, but also from a municipal area. There are economic forums, there are associations like AMO. And I also believe that we need to lean on the expertise and the shared and lived experience of other counselors, reaching back for history and for context and ensuring that we're really understanding it from all sides. Like, why did we make those decisions previously? What are some of the things that we need to think about moving forward? 2020 hindsight is always something. So again, this comes back to leaning in on the expertise from our city staff, going and reaching into external organizations like AMO or Federation of Municipalities. And then 3 is going and chatting with previous counselors or current counselors that already have that lived experience or that experience from previous.
What are 2 changes you will propose to improve city services?
biggest one that I think is going to be is the building better communication between council and the community. Because again, what I've heard from our community is that they felt like they weren't getting the right information or they weren't getting timely information. And I think that this is now the opportunity. We have so many different ways of actually sharing information online, in person, through direct mail, podcasts like this. There is no reason for us not to build a better communication tool. The second one that I really want to change is I really want to do a deeper dive into how we deliver services to our community. I find that we are moving online, but as I've been talking to seniors within our ward and other sort of newcomers, they're finding that online experience really challenging and really difficult. And putting all of our eggs into the online basket is likely not the correct way of engagement. It's also thinking about when we streamline these services, we start to rethink how we make things more efficient and actually how do we develop better key performance indicators, how do we deliver higher customer service. And it also helps us with just maintaining a better network and a better partnership with our community. If they feel as though they have been heard and they feel as though their complaint or their comment has been properly addressed, I think that that's what makes us a better service to our community.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
I want to take this from, I think, the mayor of Kitchener, because I really saw this and I thought that this was an excellent idea. They created neighborhood kits to empower the community to do things on their own. It was things like how to make a pollinator garden, different community-led streetscaping that can help with traffic calming. And I want to encourage our community that they have the power to do things on their own to make their neighborhood more vibrant and inclusive to both themselves and to their neighbors. The second part is that I really want to encourage the idea of these micro hubs. And I really like this idea because as I kept hearing from our residents is that they're getting out their door and driving to different amenities or to the grocery store or something like that. I feel as though creating micro hubs where they can walk to it, they can enjoy the walk to a micro hub that might give them a small snippet of some of the things that they're really looking for. Sometimes they really only want like to grab a bite to eat. They are looking for that carton of eggs, that cup of sugar to go with the cookies. So I really want to thoroughly examine how our residents are moving about inside of the ward and ensuring that they feel that they can access all of these amenities all within a 15-minute walk from their home.
It's 2026. The public record is writing a review of the 4-year council term that is just ending. What 3 words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council? And what 3 words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
I think that the 3 words that I want to describe my term on council and describe council as a whole are actually the same. First is trust. Second is innovation. And the third is inclusivity. Because let me elaborate on some of those. When I talk about trust, it's something that, again, as I referred back earlier in this interview, I think that we have lost the trust of our community. So building back that trust is going to be paramount to me because I want our community to feel like they can come to the city to get the services that they're looking for, but also feel as though we're not hiding anything and that we are what we are and we are being open and honest and transparent when it comes to servicing our community and as well building back that trust that needs to happen. Second, when it comes to innovation, with all of this new council changing over, we are also in a time where there is technology, there are new ideas. We're not in a bubble anymore. The fact is we can actually reach into other municipalities that are doing really cool things and learn by understanding what other communities are doing. I want to think of myself and this council as being very innovative, rethinking how we deliver services, rethinking how we engage with our community and deliver that high touch customer service that our community really deserves. And that last is inclusive because, again, as a visible minority that is putting my name forward, I want to ensure that we are addressing and also acknowledging that there is diversity and inclusivity at council. It's ensuring that we're listening to our community, we're listening to other councillors, we're being inclusive when it comes to decision making, and we're being inclusive when it comes to delivering new ideas and projects and initiatives moving forward. So again, my three words that I hope to describe myself and for this new council is trust, innovation, and inclusive.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks you wish to share?
There's a lot of different things that I'd like to share, but I think that a couple of key points. This is an opportunity for change. I mean, when we see it, almost half of council is actually changing over, and we're also getting a new mayor. So I think that there's so much opportunity, and I'm optimistic for that. But I also want to leave as a closing remark is that there also needs to be a balance of experience versus innovative ideas. Thinking through for myself is that as a city staffer that's been around and been in the community for a really long time, I feel like our council could benefit from someone that's been behind the curtain a little bit. But then at the same time, I'm also out there and actually interacting and being innovative, thinking through how we're actually doing things. And when we think through our new projects and initiatives, there has to be that lens of sustainability, that lens of preservation of history and heritage, and obviously climate change. It also goes without saying diversity and equity, because that's what I'm also representing as well. But there are a lot of other factors when it comes to making decisions at the council level that I do want to ensure that we're putting on the record here, is that we do need to think about history, heritage, climate change, and also sustainability. Sustainability in the sense of not just people and resources and climate change, but thinking about it from a fiscal responsibility as well.
Thank you. How do people find out more about you and get in contact?
Check out my website at tammyhuang.ca, TAMMYHWANG.ca, for more information about me and some of my campaign updates, as well as my platform. Thank you again for this opportunity.
This has been episode 115 of the Public Records The 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.